definitely waited to stand up so I could hear the end of that song. Because I thought about having us sing that, but not yet. So, all right. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas once again. I'm glad you're all with us this first Sunday of Christmas on this fun sort of service occasion. As you've already noticed, we have a special guest musician this morning. Big thanks to John Koziel for coming and ice fishing and stopping by and playing here as well. So thanks a lot to John. He'll definitely help us out as we do a hymn sing today, a little lessons and carol service. So if you haven't noticed already, I think the ushers probably mentioned it to everyone, but there are slips in your bulletins. We'll have one final collection right at the end of the announcements, and then we'll just start pulling them from a hat and seeing what we get. But other than that, few announcements. One thing, you'll notice we have our lovely poinsettia tree. Now it's time to ruin it, so it's time to take it all down. If you ordered some poinsettias, you're welcome to take them home with you today. I know they're doing, undecorating this week on Thursday. But also, I know some of the musicians want to reclaim some of their space. So definitely, if you have some poinsettias, feel free to take, or please take those home today. Of course, as we've mentioned for the past couple weeks, some of these items that have recently come in terms of the fundraising calendars, the picture directories, also in terms of the centennial, I think they're going to start doing snowflakes. If not this Sunday, then next Sunday, or maybe they already have another little fundraising opportunity. We have a snow day fun activity coming up on January 20th, so please keep that on your calendars and in mind. Looks like there's something in there that the quilters have on mind, but other than that, you know, it'll just be a little bit of a quiet start to the week because of New Year's, but definitely I wish you all a happy New Year's, and thank you for a wonderful past year. And thank you for all those that helped out at Christmas celebrations and the worship services. And glad to see everyone is not in a complete Christmas cookie coma at this point. So though I know I'm getting close. But, anything else we need to announce at this time? Anything we need to share? Right. I'll have Patty. Maybe you want to go around one more time. Collect any last hymn suggestions. Exactly. Exactly. There we go. All right. But other than that, we'll prepare for our opening hymn, hymn 270, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Jesus, the bright morning star, shines light in the world.
By day and night he shines for all to see.
Jesus was born in the midst of injustice and poverty.
That the world may see justice and the richness of God.
God so loved the world that God sent Jesus,
so that all who may believe in him may not perish, but have eternal life.
Jesus is the light of the world.
Jesus is the light of our lives.
Sing to God a new song,
a song of hope, joy, and peace around the world.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God of heaven and earth, you have thrown a lifeline to us in our darkness, a beam of light that shines through Jesus. Though born in a manger, he is firstborn of all creation. Though crucified on a cross, he is Lord of life. Fill us with the wonder and joy of his presence in the world and in our hearts. Amen. All right. Pull out the first hymn suggestion. Yes, you may be seated. All right. Okay. What a friend we have in Jesus, hymn 742. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, in the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good.
Now, the first one said it was by John requested that. That wasn't, you haven't been stuffing the ballot box. Okay, just making, just with the songs he knows. Okay, I understand how it works. I know, I tell you. All right. I guess it's a common enough name. All right, let's see here. What do we got? Uh-oh. Now we're in trouble. It's a Sue request. "Just As I Am," 592.
A Christmas Poem by Mary Oliver. Says a country legend told every year, Go to the barn on Christmas Eve and see what the creatures do as that long night tips over. Down on their knees they will go, the fire of an old memory whistling through their minds. So I went, wrapped to my eyes against the cold. I creaked back the barn door and peered in. From town the church bells spilled their midnight music, and the beasts listened, yet they lay in their stalls like stone. Oh, the heretics! Not to remember Bethlehem, or the star as bright as a sun, or the child born on a bed of straw, to know only of the dissolving now. Still they drowsed on, citizens of the pure, the physical world. They loomed in the dark, powerful, powerful of body, peaceful of mind, innocent of history. Brothers, I whispered, it is Christmas, and you are no heretics, but a miracle, immaculate still as when you thundered forth on the morning of creation. As for Bethlehem, that blazing star, still sailed the dark, but only looked for me. Caught in its light, listening again to its story, I curled against some sleepy beast who nuzzled my hair as though I were a child and warmed me the best it could all night.
And if we do happen to get a longer hymn with lots of verses, we'll probably cut it a little bit shorter.
I guess we get one of those like 16 verse ones or something. Got to save our voices if we're going to. I think what we'll probably do is if we don't get through, obviously we probably won't get through all the hymns, but I'll try to, we'll put that on our list of hymns that we've been collecting ongoing to try to work into worship services. So this is a blank one, so maybe that's pastor's choice. I don't know. Hold on. All right. Away in a Manger, 277. I think that's short. Let's double check. I'm pretty sure. Yep, that looks good. All right. Our next reading is from the Gospel of Luke, beginning in the first chapter, in the 39th verse.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their hot thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in the remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home.
Angels we have heard on high. Two, eight, nine.
reading from a book by author Joan Chittister. Each of the feasts of Christmastide is another star on the horizon of the soul, confirming what our hearts already know. God is with us. The radiant dawn has swallowed up the darkness. It is indeed the season of light. But light is more elusive than we'd like to remember. When the ancients observed the winter solstice, it was with thousands of years of fear that, once gone, the light might not come back. It might not, this time, return to warm the earth or grow the seeds or prod the harvests upon which they depended for life. The great ancient monuments, Stonehenge in England, or New Grange, or even older in Ireland, were built to function in the midst of wet, cold, black winter, when darkness was its deepest, its longest, its cruelest. Then the light was tenuous. Then even the days were gray. The monuments were built to catch the first gleam of light after the longest night in the year. When the days were darkest, then the light came. But you couldn't be sure it would. You had to be patient, be hopeful, be strong. It was the return of the lights you were celebrating. It was the return of the light that gave reason for hope in another year. For the chosen people, too, at the time of the birth of Jesus, this was a world in darkness. By the time Emperor Aurelian first worshipped the Sol Invictus, the invincible sun, in 274, and then in 321 declared the day an official day of rest, the whole world knew what, in this age, we might be more inclined to take for granted. They knew the meaning of light, the impact of its presence, the fact that we cannot live without it. And the Christians of the empire knew that the light of the soul far transcended the light of the sun. This small Christian community at the heart of the empire a few hundred years later knew that, for them, the light that was Jesus had conquered the darkness and had threatened to obliterate them totally. Now it was for them to live in this light, to fear no darkness ever again, to understand that the people who walked in darkness had indeed seen a great light. These were, after all, the people of the cross and the tomb as well as of the light. They knew, as did no other, that the two events were really one. No manger, no cross, no cross, no empty tomb. It was all of a piece. In the ancient times, the church thought of Christmas as the Passover of Jesus from heaven to earth, because of which the great Pasch, the Passover of Jesus, from earth to heaven, was really possible. Now it was for them to make the light known, to bring it to others, to bask in its certainty, however dark the nights ahead. The Christmas season, if we are to see it as a whole, rather than as an isolated event, and in our age, a totally distorted and even misleading conception of the feast, can ignite the spark that will lead us through the darkness of our own lives every day of the year. It is the light of Christmas within us that will take us, if we have the insight to cling to it, beyond a fairy tale rendering of the great truths of the faith, to an understanding of what all the dark days of life are about. Christmas is not meant to leave us with nothing more than a child's perception of what it means to see a baby in a manger scene. It is meant to take us to the level of spiritual maturity where we are capable of seeing in a manger the meaning of an empty tomb. It is meant to enable us to see through the dark days of life to the stars beyond them.
So can I make a request?
Sure.
Based on that reading, how about 677, This Little Light of Mine?
Sure. We'll permit him to throw one in there.
Thank you. I love to tell the story. 661.
Our fifth reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
So let's sing that one I held back, Silent Night, 281. Got another request for 439. I think we're just going to do three verses of it. So let's do 1, 2, and 4. So 439, soon and very soon. One, two, and four. Tambourine on that one. All right. And our sixth reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, beginning in the first chapter in the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, different John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Who were born, not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. How are your voices doing? Be careful at these things. People want to hear more, but it's like, All right. In the bleak midwinter, 294.
275, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Thank you.
It is you, loving God, who lights our path with truth.
Your word, Jesus, is truth.
In his light, draw all to the manger.
Wonder with shepherds.
In his light, draw all to the manger.
Reverence with the wise ones.
In his light, draw all to the manger.
Sing for joy with the angels.
In the brightness of his life,
cast away the darkness of injustice, poverty, and hunger in the world.
It is you, loving God, who meets us on our way.
In the light of Jesus, show the way of life. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
Peace be with you. I'm going to have a meeting. Someone suggested you come down to the lakeshore, which I know isn't Christmassy, but I don't think it's in our digital organ, so I think maybe during offering, play that. Right now. Yeah, so I'll announce it once they've settled. 8:17. He's with you. And during the offering, if your voices can take it, we'll sing 8:17. And if not, you can just enjoy it. But I wanted to get Wally's request in here, so. Peace be with you.
Smiling, oh,
Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to you, with you and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise
God, all creatures here below. You are the shepherds telling the story. Tell it in the streets and across the land. You are the wise ones worshiping with thanksgiving.
Worship
with gifts of song and service, talents and treasures. You are the angels announcing peace. And go now in peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Yes. Oh, no worship and music committee. Next Thursday. Okay. So if you're in worship and music committee, not this week. Before we sing our final hymn request, I did ask John to do a special request just for the pastor. So I'll sing it through once, and then if you guys want to join in, you may. It's hymn 297. Or you can just save your voices for the next one. So. If I can remember how to sing it. by two popular votes is hymn 300, the first Noel. 300. Well, let's rise for the final hymn. I don't think there's any hymns left in the hymnal, but that's okay.